May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Jesus teaches about the keys of the kingdom. Have you ever seen the play or the movie Fiddler on the Roof? Quite a few of you. It's about a Jewish family who live in Russia, about their hard lives, about their devotion to family and each other, and dealing with the persecution they experience, which eventually drives them from their homes. The father's name is Tevye, and his wife is Golda. The complicating factor in their lives, some of you may experience this, is that they have all daughters. No boys. And finding suitable matches is a big part of the story. Tevye and Golda had found themselves in an arranged marriage. But with his daughter seeking a new way to find partners for their life, it gets Tevye to thinking and wondering. Golda, do you love me? Do I what? Do you love me? Golda thinks the stress has gotten to Tevye, and she just burst out, "Is it indigestion?" Golda, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me? Golda responds, "You're a fool." "I know," says Tevye, "but do you love me?" "Do I love you? For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, I've cooked your meals, I've cleaned your house, I've given you children, I've milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love now?" Tevye won't let the matter drop. His parents said on their wedding day, because Tevye had not seen or met Golda until that day, his parents had said to him, "You will learn to love each other." "Golda, do you love me?" "I'm your wife." "I know, but do you love me?" Have you ever wondered that about God? God, do you love me? Do you really love me? Come on, let's face it. You and I have done things that are a slap in God's face. And you and I have done these things repeatedly. And don't you think he gets tired of us? Our yo-yo way of acting toward him and others? Or does he just have to love us because he's God? Now, I've often wondered when I've attended churches that don't have confession and absolution. Are certain people pondering whether God has just had it with them? Where taking their sins in prayer privately is not adequate anymore? That they have to be sure that God really forgiving them. They desperately want to hear it. I don't know about you, but I want to definitely know that I'm forgiven. I was really attuned to Pastor Travis giving us absolution today. Clear voice that he has. I want to know that I'm loved by God. After some of the things I thought and did this week. In our scripture today, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And it's Peter who gives the accurate and thrilling answer. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus responds, telling Peter and others that it was the Father who revealed this truth to him. He didn't figure it out on his own. And then Jesus says, in essence, that it's upon Peter, declaration, that the church is going to be built. Not upon Peter, but upon his declaration. Because the church has always been built upon Jesus. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation of the church. Then Jesus says something that is crucial for us today as we live our lives, about our relationship with God. He tells Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You are authorized, empowered to forgive sins of people and not to forgive sins of people. Now, the power was not just given to Peter. In fact, if you go in your Bibles and you looked at Gospel of John 20, verse 23, Jesus says to all of his disciples, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. What an awesome power. And we call this the office of the keys. The power was given collectively to the disciples, the first church. It is given to the church to forgive and not forgive sins. And the church in turn calls a pastor or pastors who publicly carries out this God-mandated way of forgiving sins in the name of Jesus. And if we believe Jesus' words elsewhere, then we ought to believe these words. He's given authority to forgive sins, express what God truly feels about us. Let me show you why this teaching is so very important to us. All people need to be set free from something or another, and continually set free. So when I talk about being set free, I think most people would think of the word addiction. Don't you think? I remember the former football coach of Notre Dame, Lou Holtz, once said, I've never heard of a successful man or woman who got up to say, I owe all my success to drugs and alcohol. But then Lou Holtz went on to say, yet I know thousands of people that have had their lives ruined because of drugs and alcohol. But the truth is, there is a whole host of things that enslave us. And you don't have to think very hard about this. You know what I'm talking about. All kinds of things. If you want to call them addictions, the Bible's word for it is sins that hold us, enslave us. What's more, they ruin us. We need to be free of them, as desperately free as any addict to drugs and alcohol. The office of the keys, forgiveness, is there to help us. The Holy Spirit was in those words spoken today. The Holy Spirit comes once again to help us in our battle against ourselves, against Satan, and against the world, where there is that thought that we really don't need any saving at all. In John Bunyan's classic work, A Pilgrim's Progress, Christian has been making his way to the celestial city with a huge pack on his back. The load is exhausting. It's crushing. It's devastating. It's the weight of his sins. Boy, that image really speaks to me, because I've seen people with a great load on them. They don't know what it is, but it's their sins, the weight of their sins. And he carries that weight until he comes to the foot of the cross of Jesus. Then immediately, as Bunyan put it, his burden loosens. It falls off of his shoulders and it begins to tumble until it reaches the sepulcher, to the open tomb. And it falls in there, never to be seen again. What a beautiful and poetic description to describe the indescribable. of what happens when we come to the foot of the cross, where God bridged the gap between himself and humankind. Jesus Christ is the revelation and the Redeemer. Receiving absolution gives us a clean slate. What happens when guilt is not resolved? It turns into a poison. Many people live with a guilt. It's another aspect of sin, and it poisons us. But you who believe, we are commanded to believe the words of God, the word of Jesus. When you hear a pastor declare that you are forgiven, you must believe it. Really believe it. Take it to heart. Cherish it. Because what's happening is you've been washed from the inside, and the stains of guilt and sin have been dissolved in the blood of Jesus. That's what's happening. That's what happened today. I was kind of surprised when I heard that Bob Dylan, you know, he won a Nobel Prize. Shazam. He won a Nobel Prize, but he was asked by a reporter one time from the Rolling Stone magazine what song he wanted to hear on his deathbed. You know what he said? He said, "I would love to hear." I find this hard to believe. Rock of Ages. All the songs he's written, all the songs he's heard, he wants the Rock of Ages. Well, we're going to do something awkward here. It's awkward, and you don't have to participate. But I like this song. I like this song. Not everybody likes this song. I like this song. I wouldn't mind hearing this on my deathbed, if I could hear it all. You know, all right. All right. So it's 741 in your hymnal. If you don't know the words, 761. Oh my goodness. You're right, 761. Leave it to our music director. All right. And I would like to sing it with you. And I was going to do this solo. But I knew what Pastor Travis would have done. He would have started howling like a wolf. Right? But I mean, as we sing this without musical accompaniment, just think of the words. All right? And then you'll know why he wanted to, and why it fits today. All right? Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood helm the riven side which flow, be of sin a double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Wow, that was really good. It was really good. Those words intrigue me, the double cure, guilt and sin, the power of it, cleansed. When you hear absolution, you should be hearing the Father saying, I love you, I forgive you. Anything that's between us, it's erased. I've cleansed you. Know this for certain. God knows you. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, he knows things about you that you don't even comprehend about yourself. Because there are mysteries about ourselves. When we pastors say you are forgiven because of Jesus, the Father is reassuring you that despite your sin, despite the things you said, you did, you thought, they're forgiven. He smiles on you. He loves you. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies, aren't we? We're the hardest on ourselves. This is what he's saying to you. Though you can be a mess, restless, sick, empty, struggling, proud, faltering, you have come confessing, believing in my son Jesus, and I love you as a father loves a son and a daughter, and you are forgiven, and all is right between us. All is right between us. You need to experience this regularly, and may I be so bold as to say weekly, there is nothing better for your health, spiritual health and physical health, than to know you're right with God. And hear the words, I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A little illustration, when I was a young pastor, if my wife and I had an argument on Saturday, which I forbid her to do now, then I wasn't right that day, you know? I mean, and since she's away, I can say these things. I mean, hopefully she won't go online. But and she's more of a retreater, and I'm more of a let's get at it, right? We got to solve this, especially if it happens on Saturday. You know, we've got to do this, you know, because I can't preach on Sunday if we're at odds, you know, because you'll be there looking at me saying, you hypocrite, you know? Right? So anyway, you know, it's like that in life. When you, in Christian life, when you feel that God is not happy with you, then life, then you're thinking something's going to drop, I'm going to have an accident or something like that. That's why you continually need to hear God say to you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I forgive you. It's wiped away. And we must believe it. It's divine medication. It needs to be received as directed. Take often. It is the grace of Jesus Christ that flows to your soul and to your body and heals you. It heals you. Well, unlike Tevye and Golda, our Heavenly Father makes it utterly clear. I love you. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen. 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 Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now and always. Amen.